And I would ask for your prayers this morning. Hard as I try, I can't get rid of my nerves, so they're still there. And I pray this morning that I may bring forth that which will be of help to us in the day and the time that we live in. That I may bring or share some scriptures that have been on my mind this week as I've been studying for this. And some of it came from the Book of Mormon. We've been studying about the church. And it kind of stayed with me on, was it 2 weeks ago or last week? It's in 3rd Nephi, 11th or the 12th chapter. This page 72 in the 12th chapter, starting with the 11th verse. And many of them saw and heard unspeakable things which are not lawful to be written. And they taught and did minister one to another. And they had all things common among them. And every man dealing justly one with another. And it came to pass that they did do all things even as Jesus commanded them. And they who were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. And the 11th verse has been on my mind this week. They had all things common among them. And it drew my mind to another scripture. I know that we all know, and I've read it quite often, and we read it this morning in our Sunday school class, and that's in page 82 in the Book of Mormon. And I was going to start with the 13th verse, but we read this morning the 3rd and 4th, and I think I'll read that too now. It came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions or disputations among them. And every man did deal justly one with another. And they had all things common among them, therefore they were not rich or poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. And going back to that third verse, they were all converted unto the Lord. And there were no contentions and disputations among them. And every man did deal justly one with another. And I believe that's how we want to be today. Excuse me. I'm getting to deal justly one with another. And going down to the 13th verse. And they did not walk any more after the performances and the ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land. But there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples. And it came to pass that the 70 in the first year passed away, and also the 70 in the second, yea, and then fine, until the 79th year had passed away. Yea, even unto 100 years had passed away. And the disciples of Jesus, whom he had chosen, had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three who should tarry. And there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of that generation which had passed away. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. There were no envies, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lions, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there cannot be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites. But they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And to me, that's where I want to be this day. That I have this love of the Lord in me. That we are one before Him. And I believe that's what He desires of us, that we are one before Him. Going back to page 72. And it came to pass that they did do all things, even as Jesus had commanded them. And to me, again, I believe that's where we want to be today. To follow these commandments, the scriptures, that which He has given to us to help us in this day and the time that we live in. And going down, and they who were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. And I want to go down to continue verse 14. And it came to pass that as the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen and were baptized in the name of Jesus, it came to pass that the disciples gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed Himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in His name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what will ye that I shall give unto you? And they said unto Him, Lord, we will that Thou wilt tell us whereby we shall call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have you not read scriptures was saying, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name. For by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye shall call the church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name. And He will bless the church for my sake. And howbeit my church, save it be called in my name. And if a church be called in Moses' name, then it is Moses' church. If it be called in the name of a man, then it be in the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Verily I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel, therefore ye shall call whatsoever things ye do in my name. Therefore ye shall call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth His works in it. And I believe that we have seen His works being done. We have seen healings. We have seen His scriptures. We've seen blessings to people. We've seen many miracles, I believe. And going down to the 25th verse. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel. And this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up on the cross. And after I had been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. And to me, that should lift us up this day. The Lord has given his life for us. He came to draw all men unto him. As I got wrote down here, draw all men back to God. And I believe that is his desire. I believe that's a desire of each of us, is to be following these commandments and scriptures that have been given to us to help us in this time. And going to John, just read two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And again, I believe that is the desire of each of us. We want to be with the Lord. And I know that I've read these scriptures quite often. I know each of us know them. And to me, it's good that we do know them. That's why they've been given to us. I'd like to go over to the next page. And it came to pass, verse 74, in the third book of Nephi. Verse 29, and it came to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at the day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he has given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he has given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his rest, into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those that have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. And I believe that the Lord has given us the examples and the scriptures to follow. It's our responsibility to be reading, to be studying them, to be putting them to work in our lives. And going back to page 651, this is third book of Nephi, 8th chapter. Verse 42, and I give unto you a commandment that ye shall do these things. And I give unto you a commandment, and ye shall do, and if ye shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock. But whoso among you shall do more or less than these are not built upon my rock, but are built upon a sandy foundation. And when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon them, they shall fall. And the gates of hell are already open to receive them. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father has commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And some of that has been what's on my mind this week, and I was thinking of our business meeting and our different services, and telling us here that the Lord has given us the example to follow. And I kind of always judge myself and I wonder what kind of example have I set before the Lord. Has my desire been serving him? What's my example been before? Before the Lord, before my grandkids, our young people. My brothers and sisters, others that we come in contact with, does the love that I have for them and for the Lord show in my life? Am I at, I know we've heard a lot this lately, but am I at each of our services? Am I here Sunday morning, Sunday night? Wednesday night, if we have special services, am I here? And to me, it's always been kind of hard to tell someone else, you know, what to do if I'm not doing it myself. And I know that I need to be here at each of us, our services, that I may be an example to others. That the love I have for the Lord, for my brothers and sisters, that it would show. That I know I felt the love for my brothers and sisters. And I know that I've had a lot of examples of those that love the Lord in my life. And I know each of us have, and that those that have been here at our services. And I think another thing that's kind of kept this on my mind is one of our sisters that just had to move. I think all the time that I knew her, that she lived here, that if she was in town, our sister Amy was here, pretty much always in the same seat. And you could tell the love that she had for the Lord and the desire to be here and to be in the service of the Lord. And I believe that is the desire of each of us. To be here. I'd like to go back and read just part of a verse I read. Why I think it's important that we are meeting. And they can receive, but they didn't. Walk after the commandments of God, which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and meeting together off both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And I believe that's so important to us. That was on page 82. When I was thinking of church, I had a couple of scriptures. That were on my mind. And again, we know these scriptures, each one of them, I believe. This is in Romans 12th chapter. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And I believe that we are one in His church. I'd also like to go over to Ephesians. In the 4th chapter, I think I'll start with the first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherein he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And as I read this, I had to ask again myself a question. Am I walking worthy of the Lord, as it tells us in the first few verses? And in the 11th verse, I always enjoy when I read that because it tells us that he's in charge. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He knew, again, what we believe, or we know, or he knew that we knew what we were in need of. We need his spirit to be with us. I know that I need the edifying of the ministry that I get. So I know that each time I'm here, I learn. And then the 13th verse is where he wants us to be. We all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And I believe that's what he wants us to be, is to be perfect before him. And then going down to the 16th verse. I think this verse has kind of stayed with me and brought my mind to the scripture, thinking of our business meeting tomorrow night and thinking when people are not here, when we're not here at our services, our brothers and sisters, when I'm not here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh increase unto the body in the edifying of itself in love. And I believe it is important for us, to the church, to each other, to be here. I think each one of us are an important part. Each one of us have a responsibility. And it's like in anything, if a part is missing, I believe you can feel it. You know it. So I think it's important for us and that we can share in this love between each other and our brothers and sisters. Going down to the 32nd verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. And again, I believe that's counsel to me. I'd like to also go over into First Peter. This is in the 5th chapter. This scripture is kind of stayed on my mind since I remember Brother Frank read it in one of his sermons. It kind of gives us the responsibility, I believe, of the ministry and also of each other here. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And that is my desire. Be able to always do this. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples, to the flock. And again, I judge myself, and if I've been a good example, and Sometimes I don't like the answer. And maybe that's good because we can look at ourselves and know what we need to change. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. I'd like to go over into the Book of Mormon and read, I believe, just one more scripture. This is in the 7th chapter, Moroni. Starting with the first verse, page 763. And now I, Moroni, write a few of the words of my father Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. For after this manner did he speak unto the people, as he taught them in the synagogue which they had built for the place of worship. And now I, Mormon, speak unto you, my beloved brethren. And as by the grace of God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, in his holy will, because of the gift of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of the Lord, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. And I believe that's where we're desiring and where we want to be today. And I'd like to close with reading, going back and reading one more scripture I read earlier. And they did not walk any more after the performances and the ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And I think that's so important to us, that we do meet together oft to pray and to hear the word of our Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Vic. I do have a few announcements. The class of 07 The senior class of Truman High School announces the commencement exercises Sunday evening, May 20th, 2007 at 7 o'clock at the Community of Christ. This announcement came by from Lindsay Rudd. She's graduating. And it says graduation open house for Lindsay Rudd, Saturday, May 12th, 3 to 6 p.m. at 4917 Casey Court. And it gives the phone number 373-2832. We have another graduation announcement. Union High School of Tulsa says the senior class of Union High School announces commencement exercises Friday evening, May 11th, 2007, 7:30 o'clock, Mabee Center, Oral Roberts University. And this is Trevor Joseph Surratt. Another announcement was given to me. It says, since no food poisoning was reported from our last meeting, we decided to resume our breakfast at Bob Evans Restaurant, 17620 East 39th Street, Independence, Missouri, on Thursday, April 26th at 8 a.m. Those who will attend should notify Sam Kidd. The phone number is 353-4362. They should notify him at least 24 hours in advance of meeting date with those planning to attend. We will have breakfast once a month. Yes? For men and women both? Oh, my goodness. Oh. Well, that's all right then. This evening at 6:30, we will have a sermon by our brother Rusty Granger. I would invite all out. Once again, let's show our support to the Lord by attending the call service. Tomorrow evening, April 23rd, Monday, here at the East Local, we're going to have a business meeting at 7 p.m. Please, those of you that can attend, do, and those that know of people that are not here this morning, let's please inform them that we do have a business meeting and that it's important for all of us to be here. Then midweek prayer service is 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. That's prayer and testimony. I talked with Bruce this morning, and the Sunday school business meeting will be held immediately after the general church, or the church business meeting. Let's use hymn number 357 for our closing hymn.